Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're listening to Pastor Randy from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready, grab your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
All right. There is joy in the house of the Lord. Did I get an amen?
Amen.
Father God, we thank you for worship. We thank you for praise. We thank you that we can come into any facility, wherever we are gathered in your name, your presence is there. And Lord, we are so excited about all that we're doing for your glory, because you are resurrected, and we believe that and with all our heart. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said,
amen.
You may be seated. All right, Brianna, where are you at? And little Mackenzie. Huh? Yes, yes. Where's Brianna and Mackenzie? Yeah, come on up. Don't be shy. So we're going to have a baptism. You can bring me down just a little bit because I'm afraid to push. And you want me to push today. Okay. We're going to have a baptism, but and we have some young kids getting baptized, but we make sure that before we baptize someone that they know what they're doing. Well, little Mackenzie, we believe she loves the Lord, but she's just not quite there with her walk. So we're just going to pray over her, and mommy wants her to be prayed over, and she's scared because there's a lot of people here today. So if you could join me in praying, what we're going to pray is that she would accept Jesus Christ at the soonest possible time. Father God, we just lift up little Mackenzie, Lord, she's such a sweetie. And mommy, Lord, be with them. And as daddy's away right now. But Father, we pray that at the soonest possible time that she would accept you into her heart, that she would make you her Lord and Savior, and she would know all the joys of being a child of God. And so, Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this blessing. And we are so honored. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, here you go. Oh, sorry. Oh, you didn't have... See, that wasn't so bad, huh? Here, you want this? Will you take that for mommy? Yeah, that's for you too. Okay. God bless you. Happy Resurrection Day. That is so awesome. All right. Well, I have entitled our message this morning, The Great Reset. Now, this is not a conspiracy theory. In fact, I'm going to show you that the Great Reset is in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That sounds like a pretty great reset to me. If we want to look at the NLT real quick, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And so let's pray one more time. Father, anoint this time because we are pointing and we are looking at all of the power of Jesus Christ in our life this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. And now, Lord, anoint this time in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, this is weird sounding, okay? So if I sound a little off, it's because this is weird sounding, this whole echoey thing. In first base, left field. Okay, never mind. But the Great Reset, we know that through Jesus Christ, we are justified. Now, if you don't know what that means, the easy way to remember that is just as if I had never sinned, just as if you had never sinned. That's what it means to be justified. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I like to look at the New Living Translation. I'm going to read it again, but through the New Living Translation. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Now, the one thing that you and I need to do is we need to realize that sin is a lot bigger than we give sin credit for. Let me give you an example. August 6th, 1945, President Harry Truman authorized the dropping of an atomic bomb on the Japanese island of Hiroshima. On that day, every building within 5 miles was obliterated. That's a powerful bomb. 90,000 people died instantly. 320,000 people died from the fallout in the years that preceded. And that's not counting Nagasaki. One event changed the world. And how did it change the world? It introduced us to the nuclear era. By the way, way before that bomb was another atom bomb back in Genesis. The first man, when he sinned, yeah, he bombed. He launched a warhead of rebellion against God, and now we have been feeling the fallout ever since. This atom bomb is responsible for far more deaths. Actually, there have been over 100 billion people since Adam who have been impacted by Adam and Eve dropping a bomb on humanity. But because of this, the world is now, we are born into sin. We are. And we are subject to death. But it doesn't have to be that way. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, in a sense, one person said this. In a sense, our death warrant was written into our birth certificate. Because that's the truth. Listen, we're all born and we know this, that every single one of us one day will pass from this life. However, the biggest event in history was not an atom bomb. The biggest event to ever change the world, not just for a lifetime, but for eternity, was the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross, giving us a way to have that great reset, that do-over, that start-over. Listen, I don't know about you. Have you ever messed up on something and just wished and thought, gosh, if I could just do that over, I'd do it different? Well, that's what Jesus does. He changes everything. But see, we miss the point. We do. We think that sin is breaking God's law. Dun, dun, dun. But it's not breaking his law, it's breaking his heart, which is far worse, because God is love. But today, I want to introduce you to the great reset. As it said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone, who? Anyone. That includes you and me. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Do you realize this? That Christian is a new species that only began 2,000 years ago? If you're a Christian, you're a species that never walked before on this earth. How cool is that? The first human since Adam. And since Christ went to the cross to implant his spirit into us. We represent a new start, a new beginning for all of humanity. We have that capability. We can grow spiritually. We can live victoriously. And we can be with Christ eternally. Does it get any better than that? Now, do you realize that when you give your life to Jesus, you become the envy of even the angels? They look at you and go, what? Jesus, you died for that dude? That big old hairy Mexican? And Jesus says, yeah, him too. When I gave my life to the Lord, man, I wept. Somehow, I don't know how, but the power of the Holy Spirit broke me and I was a man undone. And suddenly I realized that I was a sinner. I was ashamed of what I had done. See, prior to my meeting Jesus, I thought I was righteous. I did. Listen, I only punched guys that had it coming. I only slept with girls I liked. And if I sold someone a gram of meth, they got exactly a gram. I didn't shortchange anyone. I was righteous. I was honest. I was a righteous low-life drug dealer, if there was ever such a thing. So I didn't know I was a sinner. I just thought I was living the vida loca. That's all I thought. But the Lord pulled away all of the blinders, and I began to weep. I was tired. I was empty. I hung my head in shame, and I threw myself at the feet of Jesus, and it was the best thing that ever happened in my life. I went from death and condemnation to life and expectation. So can you. So can you. That's the great reset. The great reset is available to all of us. Now understand, if you only live in the moment, we will be blind to what God has for us in the future. Understand, God is not in love with what your possible future. No, He's in love with you right now, where you are and who you are. See, sometimes we think, oh, you know what? You know why God saved me? Because He has big plans for my life. He has big plans for all our lives. If we would tell Him I'm not here. Go, hello, no, Pastor, that's not Pastor Randy in the background. Actually, answer it and ask them why they're not in church. It's Easter. I'm just messing. You know, it's funny, I told the church, one time I was teaching and my phone went off, and it was my mom. And she's with the Lord now, but I answered, I go, hey, Mom, I'm teaching. It was awesome. What I wouldn't give for her to call me again. But I'm going to see her. She's in heaven. She's with Jesus. Romans 5, verse 8. But God, listen to this, but God demonstrated His own love towards us, and while we were sinners, look, Christ died for us. See, God doesn't change. God's love doesn't change. It's not like you earn His love. He just loves you. See, what changes is our relationship towards Him. I was a guy that was an atheist, and I hated God. I liked the devil more. I honestly did. And then all of a sudden, I met Jesus, and I fell in love with Him. And then everything in my life began to change without any effort on my part. Listen, He doesn't love us because we're awesome. He loves us because He's awesome. That's the kind of love He has. Now, amen. Here's an amazing truth. This blows my mind every time I think about this. God was in Christ dying to save us. But now God is in us pleading to save others. That is just beyond me. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now think about that. God is pleading through us. Should God have to plead to us, through us? Why is God pleading? We should be pleading to God. But see, He wants to give you and me and us and we new life. A life fuller, a life more abundant. Pastor Randy, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. You know, quite a few people have said this. Pastor, if I showed up at your church, the roof would collapse. I was like, we want you inside the church, not on the roof. Allow me to put sin into perspective, okay? You ever play that game where you go, ooh, I'm pinching? I think it was actually a like Saturday Night Live or Second City TV, where they go around squishing people with their fingers, you know, from a distance because they look tiny. Like all y'all in the bleachers up there, I can squish you right now. You over there, you're very squishy. But you ever do that where you play, look, squish the moon or you pinch the sun? Can you really do that? No. What it is perspective. We understand it's distance. Let me show you a picture. Can we put that picture up? Any way we can go full screen? No? Okay, that's cool. Okay, so if you look, there you go. Look at that. That's awesome. Okay, you see this little bird right there? And then there's my grandson, Ezra, super cool dude. Okay, Do you think that that bird is that much bigger? If that bird was that much bigger than him, first of all, it'd weigh tons. Secondly, we couldn't get it through the door. But we understand that we are closer to the bird. Now show the next picture. That's the same bird. Here's the point. Sometimes when we are so close to our sin, God seems tiny. He seems too small to deal with our sins. Sometimes when we are close to our worries, our anxiety seems so much bigger. But I promise you, you get close to God and all of a sudden your troubles, your sins become tiny next to God. But we tend to run from God. We run to our fears. We run to worry. Listen, I want to encourage you today. Jesus wants to encourage you. It's not a coincidence that you are here. He wants you to know that whatever you're going through, if you would just get close to Him, your problems, your troubles, your sins will get smaller and smaller and smaller. And eventually, no worry. Don't worry. Be happy. Okay, never mind. Listen, that's called the Great Reset. Only God can do that. Only God is big enough. Only God is loving enough to send Jesus so that we can be close to God. You see, prior to Jesus, nobody could get close to God. Everyone, you know, God was afar off. One priest, one time of the year, would go into the holiest of holies. Everyone else was outside. Everyone was like, oh, now we get to go. The veil is torn in two. Not only that, now the Holy Spirit can reside in you and I. Dude, we don't deserve that, but He does it anyway. He's the same God today. When all your hope, listen to me, when all your hope is depleted, when there's no more spark in your marriage, when you have a child who seems to be a lost cause, when your business is about to go under, when some huge mountain of a trouble is in front of you, all you have to do is get close to God and watch Him provide a way for healing. Do you realize that's what God specializes in? Resurrecting. He resurrects people. He resurrects dreams. He resurrects relationships. He resurrects a dead sinner like me. He gave me new life. He gave me hope. Even when trouble comes. Some of you know this. Some of you don't know this. I used to sing in front of a band. Okay. I actually would perform at the Tropicana right across the river. And I had a band. But something happened when I got saved. And I was thinking, how can I express what happened this one particular day? And then I thought of, you ever see Ghostbusters? You've seen Ghostbusters? Okay, well, I'm going to show you a clip. And you're going to go, what is that? And I'm going to explain to you the clip here in a second with my life and what Christ did. So if we can show that clip, that'd be awesome.
Now, we're exterminators. Somebody saw a cockroach up on 12.
That's got to be some cockroach.
Bite your head off, man.
No, I'm not the cockroach.
Going up.
I'll take the next one.
You know, it's just occurred to me, we really haven't had a completely successful test of this equipment.
I blame myself.
So do I.
Well, no sense worrying about it now.
Why worry? Each of us is wearing an unlicensed nuclear accelerator on his back.
Yep. Let's get ready. Switch me on.
Okay. So I had this band, and I would we'd do shows and perform and stuff. So here I come. I'm saved now. I've only been saved 2 years, but God has done some amazing things. And one day, I was riding in the elevator with my band, and I noticed they were all pressed against one side of the elevator. where normally we'd be spread out, you know, like we're cool and stuff, but they were all pressed to one side. And they're looking at me, and I'm like, what? And they go, you've changed. We don't know what to do with you. It was like I had a proton pack on my back or something. But what it was is I had something even more powerful. I had the power of God's Spirit in me. And you know what? That last time that I performed at the Tropicana, I led about 12 or 15 people to Jesus Christ, including two guys from the band. Listen. God will give you His Spirit, a supernatural power. You'll know that something has changed because people will look at you and say, what do you do? What happened? There's something going on in your eyes. Yeah, it's called the love of Christ. Now, of course, this reset that takes place. Yeah, it's one time, it's one moment, but honestly, it's a process. You know, I wasn't like super Christian overnight. I had a lot of issues and problems. But I love this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Listen to what he says. It's Paul. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Now, I want you to know, in case you haven't been noticing, things are getting nuts. You want to know why? Because the Bible is true and Christ is coming soon. I don't know when, this year, next year, 5 years from now, but my gosh, any of the pastors that I know, we're all going, holy moly, it's happening. Just look around. But here's the problem. Until he comes, we live in a judgmental world, right? Look at even simple things. People are judgmental. They have their preconceived. Like, for instance, hey, you go to look at some cars. You ever done that? And all of a sudden you notice that no one's coming out. I'm out here looking at cars. No one, you know why? Because they prejudged you. They saw what you were driving. And, of course, you need a new car. But they look at your clothes you're wearing. That's human nature. Remember in high school, or if you're still in high school, the jocks all looked a certain way, the druggies all looked a certain way, the goth all a certain way, the cheerleaders all, right? And we all judged each other based on what we looked like. That's not right. Even the coaches. Oh, yeah, I want that guy. You know, when I played football, one of the biggest guys on the team was the biggest cream puff and the weakest guy. He was the biggest guy, and everyone's like, he's on our team, and then you hit him, and it was like, boing. Yeah, no, one of the toughest guys was a little dude, 135, Rick Henderson, hardest hit I ever got was a little 135-pound dude. Man, awesome, but we tend to judge. Be a cheerleader going out for tryouts. I've never tried that. I'm saying you do that. Go for a job interview, and people will look at you. Judging, you know what's sad is when judging happens in a church. That should never happen. There should never be judgmental hearts. But we feel sometimes like we need to earn approval. Like we have to earn our acceptance by working hard. And listen, with God, you don't have to do anything. You just have to surrender your heart and say, yes, take me as I am. And he says, great, I want you just as you are. He's different than a coach or a potential employer. He's even different than some of the people in some churches that look down their noses on others. Listen, that should never happen in God's house. See, God sees you and I at our worst. You picked the worst day in your life. God saw you on that day and he said, I still love you. In my greatest deficiency, God displayed his sufficiency to love me beyond my stupidity, beyond my errors, beyond my ugly heart, my ugly mind. And God says, I know, but we can work with that. You see, we become justified when we accept Christ, just as if I'd never sinned. It's a restart. It's a do-over. With justification, great reset comes some perks. We get the peace with God, we get access to God, we get joy in God, and we have the hope of God all residing in us all at once. And I'm going to tell you, there's not a greater high than being in tandem with the Lord and knowing that He's pleased. Listen, we are standing. If you've accepted Christ, you're standing now in grace. And one day we'll be rejoicing in glory forever. That's amazing. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus Christ is resurrected. God sent out His love in His Word. He poured out His love in His Spirit. And He works out His love through Jesus Christ on the cross for you and I. So I want to tell you a story. Please listen to this. I think it paints a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for us. Out on a western ranch, a father lived with his wild child, his rambunctious son. Every time the boy got in trouble, the dad drove a nail into a hitching post in front of the house. Over the years, the wooden post was full of nails. Eventually, his son was old enough that they charged him with the crime and threw him in prison. From his jail cell, this young man wondered if his dad could ever forgive him. After his release, he returned home, and the first thing his dad did was led his son. He took him over to that nail-covered post, and one by one, the father began to remove the nails, and that young man began to weep. He cried at the vivid example of forgiveness that his father was showing him. When the last nail was removed, the dad asked his son to look closely at the post. Why? Because the nails were gone, but the scars were still there. You see, brothers and sisters, God will forgive us, but sometimes we scar others. Sometimes, and most importantly, we have scarred Jesus Christ. His beating, the cross, was for you and I. For all the filth, all the bad things I've done, it was to cover us. And just like that post, Jesus Christ will bear the scars forever. God freely, fully forgives us. But Jesus Christ bears the scars, and they will never be removed. Revelation chapter 5, verse 4 through 6. John says, "So I wept because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll, to loose its seven seals.'" Watch this. "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though he had been slain." Yeah, Jesus Christ is glorified, but in his glorified state, he has every wound that our sins ever caused him. But he wears them with honor because we are there and he loves us. He forgives us. The Lord Jesus Christ took the nails for you and I. But here's the question. Have you surrendered? Have you received that forgiveness? Because he won't force his forgiveness on you. It's a free gift. We must realize we're not victims of sin. We're partakers of it. Sin gets a grip, a vice grip on our lives. But grace is stronger. We must understand God's ability to forgive, to lift, to save is mightier than our ability to mess up. So I'll tell you, I'm pretty good at messing up. Have you ever heard of a painting called Checkmate? Can we put it up on the screen? I want to show you this painting. In this painting, you have the painter painted Satan on your left and a representation of humanity on the right. And The painting is called Checkmate, and as you can see, it, well, the devil has the upper hand on humanity. Well, one day, a grandmaster chess player, intriguingly looking at the painting at the Louvre Museum, you know, that famous art museum where the Mona Lisa is, yeah. This grandmaster stared at the painting, at the chessboard, at the painting, and finally he noticed something surprisingly odd. See, the typical interpretation is that the devil has a checkmate on humanity. But this man, and the one representing mankind, he's disheartened. The grandmaster called over the curator and said, "Excuse me, you have to either change the painting or change the title." The curator said, "Why?" He says, "Well, I am a master chess player, and as I look at this, I can tell you the man didn't lose. His king has one more move." Do you understand? Our king has one more move, and that was Jesus Christ. That was the victory for you and I. Maybe you feel defeated by the enemy, and listen, without a king, you are defeated. Without a king, you are defeated. But if you can make Jesus Christ your king, he's got one more move, and that is that you accept Christ. He gives you the great reset, and you get to live with him eternally. End of story. All sins washed away. Every weight, every snare, every nail removed. Every wrongdoing. But the Lord is asking you today. He's asking all of us, and I want you to ask yourself, do you have a king? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm going to ask everyone to stay where you're seated and really reflect on your heart. Listen, it's one thing to be religious, but it's another thing to say, Lord, I am surrendering my heart to you. Yes, I've got all these baggage. Yes, I've got all this sin that I'm accountable for. Yes, I feel defeated on every side. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can have rest in Christ. You can have all of your sins forgiven. That's why he went to the cross. You and I cannot be good enough. There's no way. But he was good enough to pave the way for you and I. So I'm going to ask everyone, why don't we go ahead and stand? I'm going to ask for no one to leave, if at all possible. And I'm going to ask that you check your heart. Is the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart this morning? Is he asking you to make a decision for Christ? We're going to give you that opportunity. We're going to ask you to come forward. To make today the day of your salvation. To make today the day that you find freedom in Christ. When you have all your sins washed away once and for all. So as they sing this song, if you need to come forward so we can pray with you, please do.